The ED214 Network podcast is for mature audiences only. Any videos, music, or entertainment not originating from the ED214 Network is used and covered under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, also known as fair use. Opinions expressed are our own and do not represent any DOD or U.S. government entities as a whole. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. You are no longer alone now because we have you.
Is always the first guy in and the last guy out.
I mean, he just sits there and fucking waits. Like, he cues us up before we officially go live.
Not much you can do about that. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm feeling great. Morning. I'm glad to see you here. Well, I'm glad to see you back, my man.
The man, the myth, the fucking legend.
It's good
back
to be
in back. The house.
It is good to be back, gentlemen. It is good to be back. Let me... Fucking cheers to you guys. Fucking cheers to you guys. It is good to be back.
Salute.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, dude.
My fucking water. I'm over here cheering with water.
Hey.
You know, it's been a while. I think I'm going to start drinking again.
Jesus Christ. God. If we aren't the fucking, like, worst influences, dude. Like, it's like we don't have an angel and a fucking devil on our shoulders. It's just two devils and a fucking shitload of fucking, like, succubuses and, like, yeah, like, it's a whole fucking carnival in here, dude. Let me tell you.
I ain't got anything going on, man. I might as well just start sipping a little bit. Well, I'm staying away from the peanut butter whiskey because that stuff gets me fucking...
Every time. And there's...
You
and
know
there's-
why it does that, John? Because the sugar content in that shit.
Yeah, like, through the fucking roof, dude. Like, give yourself diabetes with that shit, dude.
Yeah, and they say, and they fucking say that the food doesn't make you crazy. Bullshit.
Bullshit. Like, alcohol definitely can make you crazy. Like, it's actually funny we're talking about this. I didn't actually do very much drinking at all this week, and like, it's kind of just fucking chilling out, getting shit done. Like, I had a bunch of chores around the house, freaking errands to run, like places to go, you know, whatever. And so it doesn't really lend a lot of time to wasting time, if you want to call it that. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, if I want to get up at freaking like 7 or 8 in the morning, it's probably a good idea not to go to bed like after 1 o'clock, you know, half full of freaking like Yingling, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, yeah. So anywho, yeah, it's not always a bad idea to take a break either. So cheers to everybody freaking, taking a break from the grandpa's cough syrup, like John. So fucking absolutely, John, we're fucking proud of you, dude. We're proud of you.
But damn, Jay, how the fuck have you been? It's been, what, a month since we saw your glorious face on the podcast?
Yeah, it has actually been. Yeah, well, because we missed a week or so. So it's been several weeks, actually. It's been several weeks. I've been pretty good. I've been just taking care of business. It's like the, what do they call that? There ain't no cure for the summertime blues, right? And like, so when you, like, there's something about like the end of summer, kids are getting ready to go back to school. They were coming home from West Virginia, which they did safely. And, you know, they had a good time out there.
Did they start?
And they start tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first day of school out here. So yeah, like, we're getting ready to go back into like school season mode and, you know, back into the routine. And that's kind of like, there seems to be this thing that happens about a month before school starts. Where, yeah, you like start to get like really charged up, get things in order, start making sure like things are, you know, popping and locking again around the house. That way when school starts, it doesn't turn into like a goddamn, doesn't turn into a fucking a nuke, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking nukes. Oh my God. It has been so long since I've seen you guys. I saw, you know, Barbenheimer.
Nukes.
Fucking nukes. Fucking nukes. We love fucking nukes here, dude. Like nuclear bombs are your friend. Okay. No, the fuck they're not.
It's actually funny. I'm gonna put on the video that I recorded yesterday while you talk about this. You're gonna love this.
I can't wait. Yeah. Fucking. But yeah, so like in the meantime, I actually I have seen I partook in the social spectacle that was Barbenheimer, and I've actually seen both of those movies twice now. Oh, what is this? What is this? Show me. Oh, that's just pretty. That's just so pretty.
This was yesterday on Fallout.
That's dope. See, why are things that are so destructive so beautiful? I don't understand.
It's also like the science behind it too.
Oh God, yes. And that was Oppenheimer. I saw Barbie and Oppenheimer. And I've seen both of them twice now. And
so you did the back to back?
So me and Nikki did the back to back, and it was actually the movie's officially open on a Friday. We did it on Thursday. And we went and saw Barbie in the afternoon. We went and had a little dinner, kind of like a little light snack in between. And then we went back to the theater and we saw Oppenheimer in IMAX that evening, that night. So we did actually watch them back to back the same day. And then in the time since, I've seen them again. I saw Barbie with my youngest, and I took my oldest. My oldest actually wanted to see Oppenheimer, and I was like, you know what? They actually did a really good job, and I'm okay with you seeing it. Like, she's old enough, and like that's just my call as a parent. And it was mm-hmm. a lot of history, you know what I mean? Like a lot of like you said, the science. Like I'm kind of a nerd about that stuff too. Like shit, the types of math that my feeble pea brain, you know, window licking ass would like never be able to even comprehend. And these people are doing it like in their fucking heads before they even put a fucking pencil to the fucking pad. You know what I'm saying? There's appearances by fucking Einstein in the movie. A lot of famous figures are in this movie. And if you know,
was that scene actually?
Well, I've always been kind of a history buff. So
yeah.
I was very, very, I was already going, I went into the movie extremely familiar with the story, you know, already knew how it was kind of going to play out. I didn't know how they were going to show and how, what the parts of it that they were going to focus on, but very familiar with all of it. You know what I mean? In general. I loved what fucking Christopher Nolan did with the story.
He's a kid. That,
like how they tied it all together, and they showed, you know, parts of it in flashbacks and parts of it in the present day. And they kind of like, you know, some of it was slightly out of sequence, and it was kind of like, fucking finally, Christopher Nolan, you made up for Tenet. Okay. I will never like Tenet. Like, I was so disappointed in fucking Tenet, dude. And Oppenheimer, holy shit. Christopher Nolan is fucking back. That was a 3-hour movie that did not feel like a fucking 3-hour movie. Okay. It is that fucking good. And like,
I actually have an answer for you that you asked that you were talking about a couple weeks ago about the sound quality. I know that we all agreed that the sound quality was shitty. I finally found the answer to it.
In Tenet? Yeah. Cause he doesn't, what was it? Go ahead.
He doesn't typically do voiceovers, like
right.
reshoots with voiceovers. So he's using the actual
original
that are being used when they're shooting. On top of that, the IMAX cameras are so damn loud,
right?
They use so many layers of sound, and in a way, it's kind of frustrating, isn't it?
It can be. I think with Tenet, it was with Tenet more than anything. But
so did you have that with Oppenheimer? How was the audio with this movie?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And I'm sure, you know, at this point, you know, we're a few weeks behind as far as like these movies aren't exactly new anymore, but the nuclear explosion test sequence is fucking amazing in IMAX. It's absolutely fucking amazing. It was like, that was like, they did Christopher Nolan is back. Like this was the Christopher Nolan we've all come to like love and respect as a director. Okay. This was the one. And he did it. They did a fantastic job. This is one of those few movies where like Jay is going to give it high marks all around. This is the one if you're going to see one movie in the fucking movie theater this year, make it Oppenheimer. It is that movie you will want to see it in the theater. And absolutely ups if you go and see it in IMAX, because I think it was shot in 70 millimeter. So you're going to want to see it in IMAX. Dude, fucking, and then Barbie. Fucking Barbie, dude. Watching everybody like lose their fucking shit over Barbie.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Fantastic.
That's what I'm talking about, homie. Barbie is the shit. That movie was fucking amazing. God damn it, that movie fucking rocked. That movie was a real rock and roller. Okay.
Shapiro said it was woke.
That fucking cuck, dude.
Fucking Shapiro.
That's the funniest part is because it's the exact kind of movie that doesn't take itself too seriously. That's part of the joke of the whole movie. There are so many meta jokes in that movie. It's very finely layered with its comedy and kind of dramatic aspect. It's very finely layered. And there are so many fucking meta jokes. And one of the main meta jokes in the fucking movie is the movie itself is not taking itself too seriously. You know what I mean? It is they did such a goddamn good job. You know what I mean?
Many cameos in that movie too.
Oh god, and they're hilarious, rich. Dude. It's fucking hilarious, dude. The way they play it out, and it's so much fun to watch. You know, obviously very brightly colored. You know the sequences where they go to the real world, and you know Barbie starts to see humanity for the first time. Those are fucking amazing. You know what I mean? The whole goddamn story, you know, it was fun to watch. It was a treat. It's just a visual treat. You know what I mean? So again, fucking Barbie is going to get extremely, extremely high marks for me all around. Barbenheimer was a cultural phenomenon and well-deserved fucking round of applause. They fucking nailed it. They fucking nailed it. Absolutely. That is two movies on the same weekend that not only I wanted to go see just out of brash curiosity, but also was just hoping that they knock it out of the park because I was looking for a winner. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about a little bit of the summertime blues earlier, you know, kids are getting older, you know, another school year starting, you know what I'm saying? Leaves are going to be fucking changing soon, which is not a bad thing. I know all you pumpkin sluts are out there.
I'm a fall slut.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot. Yeah, I know. It is actually one of my favorite times of the year too. But yeah, I know. It's just a changing of the season, and and with the changing of the season, sometimes comes the changing of the guard, and you have to be mentally and emotionally prepared for that. And Barbenheimer was an absolute smash, dude. Absolute treat to watch. If you still have time, if you still haven't seen it, I've seen both of them twice and can happily say I was happy giving my money away. That was fun.
Your eyes must have been fucked going from Christopher Nolan's undertones earthy style movies, and then you come into
Barbie.
You started off with high color contrast and ended with
and then we went into the evening and had dinner. And by the time the movie started, it was dark. And then we went into Oppenheimer. I had a feeling it was going to be exact. I got to save my night vision, John. I can still see in the dark, homie. I don't know about you, but I can still see in the dark, homie. I got to save my night vision. So
my eyes have been a little questionable.
You played it the right way. Yeah. You did Barbie first and then went into the darker undertones of the fucking Nolan movie.
Yep.
That way you got the proper experience of, ooh, bright, pretty colors to holy fuck. It's a nuclear motherfucking bomb.
Yep.
It's so cool. I know Christopher Nolan just came out with this, but I want to know what he's doing next. You know, like, I'm ready to know, like, what's going to be his next big thing. Because his thing is he wants to do historical dramas now.
He did. You know? If he does some shit like he did in fucking Oppenheimer, I say, like, sign me the fuck up. I mean, I don't know when the strike's going to end. Like, how long has it been since we've seen each other? And, like, all the shit that we talked about the last time I was here is pretty much still fucking going on. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's another thing. Like, Nolan, we normally only get a film from him every couple years.
Two to three years.
Awesome. And that's because the brain behind his entire production, the way he does things, the way he shoots his movies, mm-hmm. is just totally different than these bigger producers and studios. Like, when Nolan goes to these studios and says, here's the plan I've got for a movie, and a studio says, okay, we're going to sign off on it for you to make it, he might already have, you know, a studio signed off on his next movie. And even if the strike wasn't happening right now, it would still be another 2 to 3 years before we'd even start hearing about the next Nolan flick.
Yeah. Yeah. And real quick, I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt, but I saw Cardenas was in the chat. I didn't check the chat in a while. Wanted to say happy belated birthday, Cardenas. I saw it was your birthday.
Oh, happy belated.
Fairly recently. So happy belated, freaking. I saw that. Happy birthday, brother. Like, I hope you had a good one, freaking. Cheers to another fucking trip around the sun. It was actually my youngest's birthday yesterday. So we did that yesterday. So that was a lot of fun. Like, we did that. So yeah. Happy birthday. So,
oh, that song you're talking about, the Cardenas, you're talking about that dude from the mountains.
Cardenas is trying to start some shit today, dude. Like,
give me some context. I don't know what this is.
The song is called Small Towns by Jason Aldean. And
okay. No, that's not the one that I think he's talking about.
Which one is he talking about?
Let
me read it. Let me read what he says.
Richmond, north of Richmond. So there's a...
Which one is that?
Let me see if I can find the video real quick. Because, I mean, obviously, the tried that in the small towns caused a lot of stuff.
That's the one I thought he was talking about. Is that a different one you're talking about?
Yeah, so Richmond, north of Richmond is actually, and I've just found the video.
Who's it by?
Give me a second here.
It's by Tootie fucking Fruity.
Yeah, there you, thank you, John.
No.
Fucking like Tootie fucking Fruity. Fuck it.
So this is the one that he's talking about. It's dude's good. I'm not gonna play audio just because of copyright. If there is any copyright,
I can hear it.
If you haven't watched it yet, Jay, definitely do. He's actually been getting a lot of clout. In a more positive note, because it's not really, it's not, I wouldn't say it's like anything controversial, like the whole try that in a small town bullshit.
Right. What's the gist of it? What does the song revolve around? I've actually seen that come across my feed a couple times, but I haven't listened to it yet. So what's the song about?
Pretty much talking, well, fuck.
What's the song called?
Because I've listened to it here and there. It's called Rich Men North of Richmond. So pretty much he's talking about the government.
Oh, that's cute. Like, we haven't heard that already.
I'm definitely gonna, well. You had my curiosity. Now you have my attention. So I guess.
So let's table that one, Cardenas, and until next week.
Next week, yeah. I'll definitely.
So that way Jay can actually listen to it and give us a rundown of his thoughts and opinions.
That looks like a good shower song. Like when I fucking jam music, like when I'm in the shower and shit. You know what I mean? Like that looks like a good shower song.
So yeah. One thing that came out this week from that guy that does that song, Jamie Johnson,
I love Jamie Johnson.
You know, In Color, great fucking song. Every time it comes on the fucking radio where I hear it, I get goosebumps because
I took his double album with me on my first deployment, man. I remember
Jamie Johnson
guard, like tower guard, fucking like listening to fucking Jamie Johnson, dude,
like, at a farmer's market or something like that in the mountain regions in the, Jamie Johnson went in and that guy was there performing his song and him and Jamie Johnson covered In Color together.
Dope. That sounds fucking cool.
I can't stand music that has like a message to tell.
The only good music is the music that actually is fucking depicting some kind of fucking story or message.
What's the matter, John? You don't like having feelings, dude? You don't like feelings?
John's the one over there that likes fucking mumble rap, don't you? I like that mumble rap bullshit.
Do you know what's my main course of music? Jay, I think Jay froze.
No, he did freeze. His network's fucking.
There he is. Yeah, my thing is
screamo.
heavy metal screamo. Yeah,
yeah, I knew that.
Hard rock screamo. That. So like, I don't like this. I did an amp radio show a couple like 2 weeks ago, and they played some. I produced a video for Lost in the Fuck. It was an album Lost review. Lost in
the
Fuck.
I love the fucking name. Love the name.
So they reviewed Kansas City Zone.
Story of my life.
Yeah, they reviewed Kansas City Zone Tech N9ne, and yeah, the album was great. But I don't want to listen to an album that has something that has a message. I know what the message is.
I know how
fucked up the establishment is.
Talk to me about if we're okay in the regard that you don't listen to music to get fucking more depressed. Like I can totally see where you're coming from because like sometimes music will definitely take you there if you want to go there. And that's like, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we're all getting older now.
Yeah.
So you're going to start like, you know, feeling your feelings a little bit more.
Tell me about the time you fell off a cliff and your girlfriend left you because of it. Like, I want to hear that, you know, like,
well, it's not all that sad though. Like some of them are very uplifting.
What kind of fucking music he's listening to that's telling stories like that.
I was gonna say to you, like fucking Pantera has like uplifting music, bro. Like, I mean, there's shit that'll like fucking charge you up and like get you a fucking your war boner fucking like.
I mean, I don't
like, you know what I mean? like Five Finger Death Punch. I can't fucking stand them.
I'm not a fan either. Like that's,
you know, it's just like they keep, it's like these groups keep on like doing, oh yeah, we're sending this message to the people out there who feel this way. Like, shut the fuck up.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. What about like Blood for Blood? Because they definitely had a message, but the message was like fuck society and like fuck the world. So like, what? Blood
for Blood's a good song, but I don't want to hear. Well,
no. The band, like just the band as a like in general, like the band in general is like, that's like they had a message, but the message was very punk and very like, you know, post hardcore, and it was kind of like none of this shit matters. Like fuck all of you. You know what I mean? And like. Well, so like, I mean, what about that? Would that not constitute telling a story? Or is it the genre? Like, I'm really curious. I don't know that I've ever had this discussion with you.
You know that I'm open with genre. You know, I listen from all the way from EDM, like deep EDM to folk music.
Sure.
But when I listen to a lot of that music, how can I what?
Well, how can you listen to all those different genres and not listen to stuff that has a story?
Because I won't listen to all their songs. You know what I mean? Like for example, I like three Sam Smith songs or,
sure,
you know, I'll have like the new Metallica album. A lot of people don't like it, but I genuinely kind of enjoy it, even though it sounds like a lot of the same shit that they've done for the last 40 some odd years. You know, I don't feel like that there's a message in there. In fact, one of the songs reminds me of Jay, to be honest with you.
Oh, dear God. Like,
I mean,
the thing is, here I am.
Don't you put that devil magic on me, Ricky Bobby. All right.
It's called If Darkness Had a Son. That's what the song is called.
Oh, that, I mean, actually, that kind of sounds dope. I'm going to check that out now. I like the title. The thing is, like, If Darkness Had a Son, huh?
The thing is, all music has a story. It's just how deep is the story, in my opinion? Like, yeah, even screamo and heavy metal, there's some kind of fucking message behind what they're doing.
I have a perfect example. Coheed and Cambria. Are you familiar with what they do in their music?
Yep.
So their albums are stories. They're just stories. They're not messages.
Yeah.
You know, and it, each song is a different chapter in the story.
Right.
You know, yeah. even the singer Claudio Sanchez, who was a very gifted comic book artist and writer, you know, expanded on some of the Coheed and Cambria albums with that. So that's my place with it. That's my place with it. Like, you know, like, I love Rage Against the Machine, but I won't listen to them no more because I just don't want to fucking hear about it no more. I know how fucked up the government is.
You know who's still got a good story to tell, and I bet you would like, John? Fucking Cypress Hill.
Their
fucking new shit still bangs, dude. Like, these motherfuckers have been at it for like 30 some years and they're still banging, dude. Like, it's fucking awesome, dude.
Cypress Hill.
Please excuse me for 1 second. Cody's whining. He wants out of the basement.
Cypress Hill just did a like YouTube show where they're like in like a small office, and it's not like I would compare it to like Unplugged, but it's not really Unplugged. It's more like a coffee house session. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, so hear me out on this though, John.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, like, you know, Strobridge is throwing a good point out here. So I like music that tells a story when it's a good story. When it's bullshit, that's when it's not good music telling a story. He's got a good point. The reason we don't have millions of new novelists, millions of new artists flooding the scene is because people can't tell stories worth a fuck anymore.
You're right.
And, you know, that's where you get into this, well, I hate this musician, so to speak, and I don't like listening to their music necessarily because they're not good at storytelling. They're not good at putting the story into their music. And then you've got the musicians that are great at it. I mean, it's not necessarily story music that tells a story. It's shitty storytelling that you don't like. Because all music tells a story in one way or another.
Yeah.
Do you guys know who's a really good storyteller? Taylor Swift.
You know, God Kevin, damn it. Here we go Kevin, with this shit again.
Kevin Costner just made a post the other day about this. Like, if Kevin Costner has said that he is a Swiftie.
Dude, it's hard not to be. Like, I can't fucking, dude, like, this shit was over a month ago, dude, and I'm still like kind of like, fuck yeah, I was there, dude. I was fucking there. Like, that was the shit. That was the shit times 10. Like, it really, it's hard not to be. This woman is like just putting it all out there, and she's telling stories. Like, her the whole goddamn concert was a series of eras. So there was like stage setup changes and different colors and different vibes for the different eras, and like that was she was telling a story, John. She was telling a story.
Well, I think we kind of got that whole I don't like story music thing out of the way at this point.
I don't like messages. Stories are okay. That's what I was trying to clear up.
John, do you just not like other people telling you like what to
think? But I already know.
Where you go. Yeah, I just fucking piss you off, man.
You know, I'm at the point in my life, okay? I know the government's fucked up. If they're going to wipe my bank account, I mean, just fucking do it. You know, what the fuck? Like, you're not going to make me any miserable than I already am. Just fucking, you know, just fucking
It's all bread. It's all bread and circuses, gentlemen. Like we've already we already know how to live homeless. We already know how to live homeless, dude. So it's whatever. Yeah,
we were in the army. We know what it's like to be fucked.
We were in the army where you get paid to be homeless for a living.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's like it's all good. We'll figure it out. Oh, you know, under the bridge somewhere.
You need to transition Strobridge.
What's that? Let me hold on. I'm sorry.
He says,
I will resist the Swift for always and forever.
Good luck. Good luck. Her talons are long and sharp. And when they grab you with that first song that you like, and I guarantee you there's at least one, because she has like, she kind of like,
eventually
like,
you'll get grabbed by the long dick of the Swift.
Dude, there were so many songs, you know, of hers that I'm not exactly familiar with, but when she was playing them during the concert, I was like, oh fuck, that's pretty good. Oh fuck, that one's pretty good. You know, I was like, god damn, like, fuck have I been missing out on? Like this, you know, this fucking broad like came to fucking play, dude. Like I was like, shit. And then she was on stage for almost fucking 4 hours. Who the fuck does that?
Different. You should embrace that.
Yeah, she's. I don't, dude. It's hard for me to like. It's hard for me to get off. It's hard for me to get off of Taylor Swift's freaking like so Vanny Johnson, dude. Because like it like. Yeah,
I do have to ask, because before we get into this crazy thing that happened with Squalini, did you had another review, Painkiller?
Oh shit! Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So I'll try to make it semi quick, but like, okay, yeah. So the vibe and the tone is definitely going to shift on this one. All right. So buckle your seatbelts. All right, so Painkiller is a 8-episode miniseries. I believe it's on, correct me if I'm wrong, is it on Netflix? I think it's on Netflix right now. And Nikki was watching it, and I caught the last 2 episodes with her originally.
Netflix.
And this is another, this is kind of similar to Oppenheimer. This is the one. Like, it's kind of
Roderick.
It's kind of telling a historical story, but it's a fairly recent history. There's a little bit that, you know, there are characters that are kind of like combined, you know what I mean? Like from real life. So like there's fiction, but kind of like that fiction, the fictional parts is overlaid with the stuff that is like what happened basically. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And the entire story revolves around the opioid crisis and its origins with the drug OxyContin. And the family and the pharmaceutical company that mass produced that drug. And
so this is a true story.
Yeah, it is. And it, okay. Goddamn. And it's a fucking bummer, bro. Like I would say this is like must watch, you know, like if for nothing else, so that you see behind the curtain, so to speak. And I know the dude, like fucking John.
God damn it, John. Timing.
Timing. Something John has none of. Right? That's okay. It's well, and I'm actually kind of glad though, because it's like, that's why I was kind of stumbling for fucking words there, because the opioid crisis happened for a reason. And it didn't just happen for a reason. It was functionally manufactured. And I know pretty much anybody watching this right now, all three of us on the fucking screen in front of you, we have been touched, harmed, lost people, fucking something somewhere along the line with some level of opioids. And it is such a fucking serious thing. It is still a serious thing to this day. And when you see this miniseries, basically is what it is, kind of, you know, it's 8 episodes. When you watch this miniseries, you're going to be left with such a goddamn bad taste in your mouth, as you should. Because it is like, that's how it got so bad. This was like the genesis of like half the country getting hooked on fucking heroin. And like, and it's such a goddamn gut punch when you watch it. And I remember reading about this shit in the fucking paper. You know, mm-hmm. We're talking 20 years ago. You know, we're talking like the early 2000s, early to mid 2000s. I remember when this was happening. And then I remember a few years later when the fucking, when we got the banks failed and shit like that, and we got hit with the recession, people lost their jobs, fucking the entire state of West Virginia just functionally collapsed. You know what I mean? Like, literally like overnight, And now it's 2023 and we have a mini series that documents with a little bit of kind of like fictional storytelling of, you know, cause it goes from the top to the bottom, the family and the pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. It tells their story and it tells the story of like the dude that accidentally got hooked on it and it fucking ruined his life. Right. Except has anybody ever seen a fucking movie about heroin that has a good ending? Cause I haven't. Okay. This is the same thing. They don't just get hooked on it and fucking like ruin their life. Like their lives are over. Like it's done. You're done. Like that's fucking, that's opium. That's heroin. That's fucking methadone. You know what I mean? Like that's that classification of drug. And that's why it's so scary. And like, cause you watch them take profit over safety. You know what I mean? Like literally, willingly, openly. You know, these motherfuckers are having parties in fucking mansions and shit, like with like fucking dancing characters on stage, fucking like dancing plush characters, like in the shape of a pill, dancing on stage. They're having these like mega parties while people are fucking like dying in the streets. You know what I'm saying? It's depressing as shit. It's depressing as shit. It'll take part of your soul, man, but you should watch it because you need to see what's been going on like in our country in the last fucking couple of decades. And this transcends like multiple presidential fucking administrations. Like this is not a political thing. This is like something that we've all been fucking hit with, like across the spectrum, top to bottom, left to right, up and down, black and white, fucking everybody's been fucked over with this one.
And like, communities too. Communities get higher.
It's very similar to the crack epidemic in the '80s, except fucking worse, bros. Like, Thank God we never got fucking touched by the demon named heroin, dude. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm not much of a fucking spiritual guy, as you can probably tell.
I haven't touched.
I'm not much of a fucking believer, dude, but the only demons I've ever seen in real life are fucking drugs like fucking heroin. Like, no shit. Even for all of my, like, you know, casual fucking use in my past history and fucking, you know, and whatever, it's like, that drug is a fucking demon, and I stayed away from it for a fucking reason back in the day. And you know, last time I fucking hurt my back in the army, I told them fucking no fucking pills. Like I can drink a bottle of Jack and lay on the fucking couch when my back heals. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't need any of that shit because I've seen what it fucking can do. It scares. If you guys want to know what like one thing that Jay is scared of, because there aren't the list is pretty fucking short. Fucking, I fear fucking what drugs like that can do to my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I fear that. And that's a healthy fear. That is a healthy fear.
I've openly done a lot of drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've never done heroin.
No. Mm-hmm. And when I was a teenager in the 90s, one of the things that steered me away from it was Hollywood. There is no, like, if you go to like the heroin category in fucking Hollywood films, dude, none of them have a good ending. Pick one that has a good ending. Trainspotting? Nope. Basketball Diaries? Nope.
Requiem for a Dream?
Requiem for a Dream. Hell to the fuck no. Like, and it's kind of like, yeah, why would I fuck with that? Why would I fuck with that? Like, right. No. Just no. The answer is fucking mm-hmm. no. Not once, not ever. Please, God, don't ever fucking let that happen to me. Right? Like, if nothing else.
Drugs are bad for you unless they're curing your PTSD.
What's that?
What are we doing? Madam guy.
Drugs are bad for you unless they're curing your PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah. No shit. Like, yeah, I gotta look into that. I gotta say I'm very curious about the medicinal benefits of microdosing psilocybin.
Yeah.
I've heard good things. I've seen a couple of reports. I'm not as in depth on it yet, but it's
talked about a lot more.
That's the thing. It is being talked about and there are being reports written. Things are being written about it, and there are some studies that are currently being performed, and there does seem to be, early on at least, there does seem to be some early results with psilocybin being used in microdoses to treat I don't know I don't know if we're gonna say cure yet, we'll say treat fucking post-traumatic stress. So yeah, like, and I'm very curious to see some of the updates on that for sure.
Joe does not do crack, Ghost. Unless you're talking about Fortnite, that's a different story.
That's fucking. But
I'm going to interpret that. You do it too. I want to.
Um,
that's funny. But so Joe, if we're talking about drugs, we're talking about, yeah, like let's talk about drugs. Let's talk about your neck of the woods.
Hold up now.
So hold on, we'll get to that. I'll say exactly when, John. So this week has been a very fucking interesting goddamn week on my end. Pardon the GD being dropped there, but it was a fucking shit show. So sitting at home, I'm working, 4:30. I get a text from my neighbor. Hey, fucker, why didn't you let me know SWAT was here? What? SWAT was fucking here?
What?
So I go out to talk to him. I get to talking to several of the other neighbors. The townhome right connected on the other side of my fucking bedroom window. They were in some deep shit. And this is where that sign comes into play that I'm going to have John pull up. So the next day, I go to look to figure out what the fuck, why the fuck, where the fuck, and how the fuck, and what all the fuck this was going on with. These motherfuckers were cooking. They were using this townhome. They weren't living in it. It was literally a stash house and a fucking lab. Right next door to my fucking apartment. So if you can tell from the background in my office, there are no cables on my gaming setup because I've taken it all down. Because now this coming Thursday, I'm getting the keys to a new fucking place on the same property, but across the property, way far away from the fucking crack house. Meth lab, heroin. I don't know what the fuck they were making in there. All I know is 100% the dude that was renting the place owns a fucking mansion in the mountains. This fucker was 3 months behind on his fucking rent for his goddamn lab. £200 of fentanyl seized.
Oh, dude. No. That's bad. That's the bad stuff, dude. That's an opiate derivative.
That's what's causing all the fucking overdoses now in the nation with fucking heroin and fucking crack, everything. They're cutting everything with it. So
next door to that. You were living next door to that.
And didn't even have a fucking clue because they always kept the blinds closed. The one person I ever saw coming and out in passing, nicest person you'd ever meet. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm doing good. How about yourself? You know.
Yeah.
You a suspect.
And then he'd get in his car and go, and then he'd be back the next morning. So in my eyes, blinds were never open during the day because as far as I'm thinking, dude works fucking third shift.
We keep our drapes closed just in general. It keeps the fucking rooms cooler. You know what I mean? Like
when it's the like 100-something degree fucking days, I keep all my shit closed too. Because I've got blackout curtains on every fucking window.
That's what I'm saying.
To help cut back on energy cost.
Absolutely.
But you know, at the same time, I'm thinking dude just works fucking third shift because he would leave in the evenings, be back in the morning. You wouldn't see him any time in between.
He was definitely working that third shift, all right.
Goddamn. So fucking Heisenberg and fucking Jesse fucking get what came out? Like what happened when the SWAT was there that you had no idea?
I was in a fucking meeting for work. We had one of the vendors here fixing the door frame for my master bedroom. So he was like, you know, using sawzalls and shit. I had noise canceling headphones on in a meeting at work. I didn't hear shit. Apparently they had the Bearcat, you know, the SWAT Bearcat, their armored vehicle was up front. And they were yelling commands over a fucking intercom. They used a motherfucking RC car to breach the door and gassed these motherfuckers.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's pretty dope. And you didn't hear any of that shit? You didn't feel the wall shake, dude?
No.
Oh my God, Joe. Oh my God. You need some time in the field, homie. You need some time in the fucking
field. I make a year. I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it.
God, that's fucking loud. But so the thing is, I normally, when I'm working, I'll normally open the blind to let some natural light in if it's not too fucking hot out, just to have some natural light every once in a while in my life, as if I'm, you know, trying to touch grass or something, which who the fuck does that nowadays? So yeah, a clandestine laboratory for the manufacturer of illegal drugs and or hazard chemicals was seized on this location on
8/15/1623. God damn.
So it was Greensboro SWAT, County Sheriff's Department, U.S. Marshals, and the State Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, fuck no, bro. Are you kidding me, dude? And you didn't know any of that was going down? Like, you didn't hear any of that? Mm-mm. Dude, what if there had been a shootout, bro? Like, what if...
Well, if there had been a shootout, I'd have fucking heard it.
God. Well, then what... You're inside, and, like, bullets start coming through your fucking wall. Like, you've got weapons. Like, what would you have done? Like...
Well, because I always have my pistol on my desk while I'm working.
God damn it.
I'd have hit the ground, grabbed my fucking pistol, thrown around in the chamber, and started shooting back.
Can you imagine?
No, I joked around after the fact, and I got to thinking, I still have, you know, some of my fucking tack gear and shit in a fucking bin in the closet.
Can you imagine?
I'd have fucking, if I'd known they were out there, I'd have thrown on fucking my multicams and gone out there and blended in with them to fucking
Can you imagine like bullets start fucking flying, like they're trying to raid a fucking fentanyl lab. Joe starts shooting back, so they think like the Joe's place is fucking bad too. You know what I mean? So like Joe gets into a fucking like 12-hour standoff with the cops because he was fucking minding his own business at work, and like they started a shootout. Like, dude, that's scary shit. Like you were that's how close. That's how close you were, Joe. That's how close. Right there.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So the more I got to thinking about it, and
as you should,
like, the fiance,
do a lot of thinking about it.
The fucking fiance, you know, she's like, we've been living next to a fucking meth lab for 3 fucking years and had no clue. And it's like, yeah, the reason we had no clue is they didn't want us to fucking know.
not just meth, bro. Fentanyl. You can touch that shit and die.
You can touch that and die. Like, so, you know, we're next to this for the last 3 years, pretty much. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, with the amount they seized, with the size of the operation, there's cartel or something fucking involved at some point down the fucking chain here. We need to get out of this fucking apartment, away from the fucking townhome that got raided, in case the cartel decides to come in and try to fucking figure out what happened to their shit.
You can't necessarily pick your neighbors, but sometimes you can pick your neighborhood. You know what I mean? And that's like,
so I mean, like, you're not
a nice neighborhood, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and
that's the thing. Like, we pay.
Like, where do you even go anymore? Because they've got enough money, they can throw it into the fucking nicest. When I lived in Tucson, years and years ago, this was common in the 2000s. They'd have like the nice area of Tucson is called the foothills. And fucking in the foothills, there's some like very, very like, you know, very expensive properties, right? And they were using those for fucking stash houses.
So,
like, get out. I mean,
that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm like, there's crime anywhere you go. I obviously know this. I have a law enforcement background before I got into tech and started doing the tech shit because I wanted to get out of fucking being in a dangerous field of fucking work. So I got to thinking, I was like,
I just want to say I like you a lot better when you're not a cop. I don't hate cops, but I like you a lot better when you're not one.
Well, the way I look at it is I'm not necessarily wanting to leave the property we're on because it's
not necessarily a bad place. The property's
great. We pay extra to live on the nice side of fucking town for a reason. However, However, I used it to my advantage to be able to transfer into a townhome, which is more square footage, so I've got more space to begin with, without having to pay all the extras that, you know, a standard transfer would cost. Like, if I wanted to transfer from my apartment into a townhome without this extenuating circumstance that fucking happened next door,
right?
I'd have to pay, it's like a $500 transfer fee, all this other shit. So I go up to the office on Tuesday after I see the sign, and I walk in, I talk to the property manager. I'm like, listen, I understand AC units, like our AC duct work and all that isn't interconnected between units, so I don't have to worry about it coming through that. I was like, however, you know, I'm looking at it from these perspectives. Is there any way we can transfer to another unit? She says, listen, I'll make a call to my regional, see what we can do for you. I'll let you know in a couple hours. I get a call 2 hours later from her. She's like, listen, we can let you transfer. She said, I've got this townhome. It'll be ready in about a week to 2 weeks. It's going to cost a little bit more than what you're paying now because it is a townhome versus a flat.
Sure.
And more square footage. I said, listen, that's fine. Because it's only going up $100 a month to get more square footage in a townhome.
You'll be, that's an easy price to pay. That's and especially not living next door to where people like walked by you and like. Ghost,
I don't have guinea pigs anymore. The other one passed away 2 weeks ago.
This motherfucker straight up.
Where the fuck have you been?
He just brought down the mood. What an asshole.
God damn it, Max.
Fuck. There goes Max fucking things up again.
You know what? You don't think it was the fucking, you don't think it was the fentanyl, do you?
No, he was so guinea pigs, their normal life expectancy is 5 to 7 years. He was 9 years old.
He lived
2 years past that. But it had nothing to do with that. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, I went up there. I talked to them. They were able to agree to let us. They agreed to let us transfer to another unit. That unit will be ready this Thursday for us to get the keys.
Very smart. Very smart. You don't need to be anywhere near that property, like where you are now, basically, where people that whoever lived there that you kind of wave to once in a while, they know you. So, yep, time to fucking move, dude. Like, sucks.
Yeah, so
sucks to suck. I mean, yeah,
we're moving. It's 300 yards away, the fucking new unit, which is far enough in my opinion because I'm not going to be able to see them if they come trying to fucking snoop around to do shit.
You don't have a truck anymore, do you?
So, one of my buddies from one of my gaming buddies that's also a vet, Iron Bjorn, him and his wife on Thursday morning are going to come from Tennessee down to help us. He works third shift, so when he gets off work, that was the last one. They're both on a shelf in the office now, in urns. Fucker.
You know what, Joe? I gotta say, I love your love for like the animal kingdom. Like the fact that like you cared that much about a couple of guinea pigs, dude. Like that tells me a lot about you as a person, and that's pretty fucking cool, dude. Like that's actually very sweet, and like you should be commended for that too. You should be commended.
So Strobridge, I mean that's one of the other big things. Is like, you know, when you look at it, when I look at it, it's like, okay, so if they were cooking. Cooking upstairs,
fentanyl, dude. Like that's bad juju. You can touch
chemicals can soak into the drywall. It can come through the walls. There's all these different things.
You can touch it.
You can touch it, and you can die. Literally,
you don't even need to touch it.
Oh no, you can. Oh, if you inhale anything,
you're done.
If there's and it doesn't take much. Like you're talking about these extremely, extremely small dosage that is fatal. Mm-hmm. That is fatal. Like the toxicity of that shit.
Fen, man.
Dude, the toxicity of that shit is off the charts. It's fucking ridiculous.
Fuck
heroin, bro. Fuck heroin. Just saying. Just fucking
it all boils down to I'm just gonna move across the fucking property to a new fucking unit to where if anything pops off on this side, I'll probably hear it pop off, but I'm not gonna be directly within danger range anymore. Because where the unit's at, it's towards the front of the property. There's like three other buildings in between where I'm at and there. So if anything pops off on this back section of the property, I'll hear it.
You hope. Yeah.
I'll hear it, but it shouldn't. as far as like any gunfire or anything like that, it shouldn't, I shouldn't have to worry about rounds coming through my fucking unit over there.
It's fucking dope that we're talking about this in the United States of America, right? Like, John, John, did you see that fucking house that exploded and like killed like six people a few days ago?
I saw that.
Dude, you should pull up like the fucking security cam footage of that shit, dude. Cause I was like, you never know who your fucking neighbors are. You never know if you're like sitting on top of a fucking shitty gas line, you know? You're fucking, your house is built on top of like, I don't know, some
Pennsylvania, right?
I think so. It killed like six people. Yeah. It's like, it like completely destroyed like three houses. It was the one that exploded and it took out both houses next to it. And fucking like six people died. And like, they still haven't figured out what it was. They still have not. Yeah. Fucking that shit.
Fuck.
Pull that shit up. Yeah.
It went boom.
Yeah,
See the debris coming down? Bro. See that debris coming down? That's fucking, dude, that's suburbia fucking USA right there, homie.
See that fucking screen door blast open and fucking go?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Damn.
That's fucking, yeah. Fucking overpressure? That's what overpressure does. It's exactly what that does.
Now I want to go blow something up.
I know. Well, unfortunately, fucking six people died, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you never know who your fucking neighbors are.
Yeah, look at their angles.
What you're living next to? You never know what you're living next to.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Look at this footage over to the left of the house.
Yeah, that one's like right beside the fucking explosion.
Oh, yeah. You saw the fucking, see this? Was that stucco? Oh, did that stucco crack? Open. Or yep. The brick? Was that brick? Is that brick
that's
or brick. Stucco?
Oh, yeah. That's brick.
God damn. Watch it. Show that again. You can see the fucking the brick.
Oh!
Fucking. Yeah, that's a crater, bro. That's a hell of a crater. Look at that shit. Look at that.
House go boom.
That is devastation, bro. That is utter devastation, dude.
And imagine if the lab that was next to me fucking blown up.
Dude, the whole fucking complex would be dead. There'd be like a fentanyl cloud. It'd fucking kill everyone, dude. Are you kidding me? Fucking Jesus.
But yeah, no, I mean, they've had, technically CSI has been back the last 2 days cleaning up with a hazmat crew because they're having to go through and fucking pretty much everything, sheetrock, fucking carpet, flooring, subflooring.
Oh, yeah, that entire unit is fucked. That entire unit is going to
have to be completely gutted.
Literally stripped and freaking like redone. From the inside out.
It's got to be gutted to the studs. They have to test the studs.
Yep.
If the studs come back positive for any traces of drugs, then they're just going to have to completely rip everything.
Yeah, they'll demolish the building. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we not talk about fucking heroin anymore? I'm getting really depressed, John. I'm getting depressed.
You got anything else, Squalini?
Yeah, that is literally the only thing. Like, I really wanted to sit down and play video games this week, but my mind just after that has been going so fucking just hard on the, well, this scenario versus that scenario. And then once we got the, hey, you know, we can, we've got a unit for you, you can move, it's going to be a week to 2 weeks, even before I had a dead set, this is the date you get the keys. I already started packing shit. Like,
because you already knew it was coming. You already knew
it was like,
you already knew that was coming.
And yesterday, or Friday, the fiance, she was all like, I don't know why you're trying to, you know, pack everything so quick, this, that, and the other. I took a whole bunch of shit to the dumpster that we needed to toss that was just need to keep.
Fuck spring cleaning, do some summer cleaning, homies.
I swung by the office to see if she had a date yet, and she's like, yeah, you can get the keys Wednesday. Well, actually, you know, give us till Thursday morning, and then you can come get the keys. So I came back, I looked at the fiance, I said, so now who's trying to fucking prepare too quick? I said, we get the keys on Thursday. She's like, that's fast. I said, when we walked through the unit this past Thursday, because, you know, we wanted to go check the new unit out, see, you know, even though they said it's not been, you know, turned, the turnover hasn't been done on it yet. So, you know, there, it's still got some work that needs to be done on it, but you can still go take a look at it. And we chose to, the painters were in there fucking finishing painting, like, literally the floors were already redone in the new in that unit. Paint was being done. Like that day, the paint job was going to be complete. All that's left is maintenance just needs to go in and replace the fucking blinds on all the windows because they're just completely destroyed from whoever lived there last. So I already knew it was going to be some point this coming up week we were going to be in that new unit. So I looked at her. I said, now who's over preparing? I said, when we moved from our last place to this place, I tried to pack early. And you refused to let me. And then we were stuck packing an entire fucking apartment the day before we were supposed to move out. I said, I'm not doing that this time. I said, and this time we don't even have as much time to prepare as we did the last time we moved.
Right. You got to pack up and go.
Sometimes you do. And that shit sucks. That like I've done.
So, yeah, you know, I've already, I messaged my boss. I took Friday off to start packing. Cause I told him, after the incident happened, I called him. I said, listen, Will, here's what's going on. You know, they just busted this fucking lab next door to me. I just want to let you know I'm trying to see if the apartment complex will let us transfer to another unit. If they do, there might be a day or two or three here in the next couple of weeks that I'm going to have to take off to pack and move. And, you know, so Monday, I'm going to, you know, hit him up and be like, listen, I put in time off request for Thursday and Friday because we get the keys Thursday. I'll go up there, get the keys Thursday morning and
have it knocked out. Basically.
I'll just start. Yeah. I'm just going to, you know, Thursday, I'm just going to get all the totes and boxes and shit over there. And then Friday morning, get up, go get a U-Haul to put all the furniture in to bring it 300 yards down and do it that route because I'm not carrying all my fucking furniture from here to there.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But yeah, it's fucking, you know, this week has definitely been a kink in plans. I planned on getting back into fucking my streams full time and my content full time this week, and then this happened. So
yeah, well, shit, man.
And, you know, with all that being said, obviously next week I'm not going to be here for the episode. If you guys do an episode next Sunday, I won't be here because I probably still won't have any of my fucking computers set back up yet.
We'll hold down the fort. Hold down the fort. Better yet,
I'll be putting all my computers together while I'm watching you two talk about shit.
that might be interesting. You might add, that would be. That'd be an interesting like a Tarantino fucking twist fucking to an otherwise seemingly normal summer for the most part, right? And then now we're coming up on the tail end of summer and like yeah, fun times for all. So
yeah.
John, hey, what do you got, dude? Cause like so I want to hear this.
So I got two major things. I'm just gonna talk about 60 Days In and then some Bethesda stuff, and that's it. But before I do that, I just want to say I've been super busy these last couple weeks because I'm actually doing filming stuff, Jay. I'm actually filming. You know, I did some stuff for XVPW.
What are you filming, dude?
It's footage for Extreme Virtual Pro Wrestling. Make sure you check them out on YouTube. So what they do, they use the WWE games, right?
Okay.
And they, you know how you could make your own character in your arenas and stuff like that?
Sure.
So what the main guy Max does, he gets people who are their characters and you scan your face into the game. And if you look like your character and you live locally, he invites you to a studio to film your character's promos, you know, stuff that you, if you're not a wrestler, stuff that you would do outside of that so that your character plays the wrestling.
That's cool. That actually sounds really cool.
It's very smart. That's
kind of cutting edge actually. Like you can really immerse yourself into the character that you created basically.
Yeah. It's like the RP that I do, which Jay, you'll be proud of me. I finally got rid of the lumber yard. It's gone. No more lumberjack, John. I'm now work for the trains.
All right. going to be a railroad baron in no time. Yeah, John.
I'm a railroad conductor.
I got back into Red Dead 2 this week. I had a busy week. So like
next
I
month, was,
Red Dead 2. I'm just like not replaying it. Like literally, just I was playing it at the end of the day just to get lost. You know what I mean? Like kind of like your RP. Kind of like your RP. You know, like when you play, like, that's when I
sit there.
I just go into
the fucking heartlands and just sit there and close your eyes.
I followed a fucking NPC last night for probably 15 minutes just to see where he went because he was walking. He walked so far from where I encountered him.
And he kept going.
So I was like, oh, where is he going? Okay. Yeah. And I followed the NPC. And then finally, I don't remember how long it took. He got to Valentine. And when he got to Valentine, he started like just kind of skirting around. And I was like, okay, that's where his story just kind of stops. But
yeah, Sorry.
You know,
but I'm filming all this cool stuff and I got this. I want to review it real quick. I got this fucking 58 millimeter lens for my camera.
Okay.
It's a wide angle lens. All I'm going to say, Jay, and Scolini will back me up on this, we're pretty much like 88% ready with our mobile setup when we go to Kansas City.
That's dope. That's fucking dope, dude.
Well.
No, I think really the biggest thing now, what, is just audio. You know, I have cheap wireless mics, but we've talked about working on going to the roads, you know?
Actually, I ordered a set of the wireless Go 2.
You got them?
Oh, I haven't got them in yet. I'll get them. They'll show up Thursday while I'm fucking moving.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
Next episode that I'm on, I'll probably use that for testing.
Yeah. So Jay, I mean, we're working, me and Joe have been, you know, working on our setups too, you know, when we do go to Kansas City.
I appreciate everything you guys do. I hope you guys know that. Like,
or when you come to fucking North Carolina or
fucking the East Coast,
fucking Jersey. I'm not going to Jersey.
I don't know if I can do fucking New Coast. I do Boston.
He should do like Virginia so that it's like a center point for both of us, Joe.
I'm only an hour from fucking Virginia where I live.
I'm three.
So
I'm a little bit farther than that, but that might be.
I'm a movie's worth away.
But yeah, East Coast kind of scares me, I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of people.
Protect you.
So the area I live in on the East Coast isn't a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm the a lot of people guy. So 60 Days In is on its eighth season. I've reviewed every season on this show, to be honest with you. It's actually kind of interesting how all these seasons have come out during the duration of this podcast. And so this season, I just have a lot of gripes. I've loved every season. They've done a great job. But now they're just putting people in just to put people in. Okay, we had one guy go in there. And this is a complete negative review that I'm going to say. Because this season, the producers really dropped the ball. Every season, we've had veterans, former inmates, tough guys, people who can, you know, and super fans. And those guys never really make it, right?
I'm hearing an echo.
I don't know where that's coming from.
I'm hearing an echo.
Try now.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. So
I was going to say, I totally started hearing that.
Why didn't you just say that out loud, Smoothie, that KC scares you with a lot of meth heads and labs? Why didn't you just say that out loud? You're right here.
Kansas City is
just for the sake of fucking typing it out. That way it's embedded in comments forever.
So we know 60 Days In, they put people in, but this year they had a guy that was in there for 90 minutes in quarantine and was like, I'm not doing this. Okay, understandable. But he disrespected the producers and was like, the producer told him, you have to go back inside so that we can properly, safely get you out. The guy was like, I'm not fucking going back in there. His ass went back in there for the 45 minutes to get put out. Another guy, this CO, former CO and celebrity bodyguard went in. Tough guy, looked really good, got out. There's five people that have already been out this season. Five people.
What is the normal? What's the normal?
Usually by the third episode, there's usually two or three people that are out, but we're on the third or fourth episode and like four people are out now. It's been like a person an episode.
How many people do they start with? How many people go in?
About 10.
Okay. I see. So you're like two or three episodes in and like half the cast is fucking already gone.
Yeah.
Like,
and, you know, my biggest gripe about this is you're bringing these people in and some of them, you know, they're just like, oh, I could do this. But why don't you get fucking people who are just came out of incarceration that can actually do the part, right? And instead of lying to the inmates and telling them that there's some secret operation going on, because they're not snitching, technically. They're there for the betterment of the jail.
Right.
Are they not, Squillini?
They are, but... You know, from, and here I go with the whole from a law enforcement background part again.
No, please.
I can understand why they're limiting using, because there has been a time or two where they've used ex-inmates, or there's been somebody that's been incarcerated before that's gone on the show and participated in the program. However, the thing is with that, there can be a little bit more of a liability. Because what if that person's not fully rehabilitated? What if that person falls back into their old ways when they get into the jail?
That's true.
You know, there's more of a, I mean, yes, there's a lot of liability sending somebody in that's not a Billy Badass tough person to a fucking jail to try to figure out what's wrong and help better the jail.
Yep.
However, there's more of a liability doing it with the next inmate, because you reincarcerate that person for the 60 days. They get back out. Well, now what if everything that they changed about themselves backslides? What if they completely backslide from that?
We've seen it before.
And we've seen that happen before in the cases where they have used X, where there has been somebody that's been incarcerated before on the show. So
they went full hua, technically speaking. Like they went full in. Like,
and that's what you're saying, John. And that's what you're saying, John, about what you don't like about this season is like they're not even making it. They're not even making it.
And understandably, but at the same time, as a producer, the producer in me is saying, like, can't you be smarter and find and do better evaluations on these people? And can we not go into the jails making them feel like they're all a bunch of snitches when they're really there to help the jail? You know, no one wants to listen to a social worker. No one wants to listen to some asshole in the suit that comes into the jail. Hey, I'm here to give you a better life. No, they want the jail to be better.
So then here's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
And hear me out, because we have had quite a few veterans on 60 Days In.
Every season.
Season 6, there was Vivian. She was one of the female inmates who went from being on that show to now doing porn.
God damn it.
You know.
What the fuck?
But either way, that part is what it is, you know.
That's
I'm definitely gonna have to look into the show now.
Oh fuck! But you know, there's.
I love that was the takeaway from like the whole thing you guys are just talking about was
no
the female veteran came out and did porn.
That's not the takeaway, but that was just kind of a, you know, there was that Nate guy who was a Marine and ended up doing fucking, instead of 60 days, he did 120. He was on two seasons. But let's do 60 Days In just veterans, because we're already used to somewhat being institutionalized, because our entire life is ran the entire time we're fucking in by somebody else.
I've
we're told when to sleep. We're told when to eat. We're told when we can take a shit.
Yep.
So,
like, I've had several conversations about the similarities of let's call it like a being incarcerated.
The food's practically the fucking same.
There's similarities between being incarcerated and the lifestyle that comes with it, and being in the military. There are similarities. Does it? Not the same. I am not gonna compare myself after almost 12 years in the Army
to being with somebody who's
done almost 12 years in fucking prison. There's no fucking
but there are
a lot of similarities.
The roads kind of go like this.
They're kind of parallel. It's a parallel road. Like that's. Yeah.
And they're similar enough to where I think if they just went with ex-military with veterans,
that might actually
for the show.
It might actually be fun.
Hey, it's going to be a fucking blast, because imagine the bullshit that's going to fucking ensue from that.
Throwing like 10 fucking vets for fucking throwing like 10 fucking like vets into a fucking jail at once, dude, is like, that's a recipe for fucking disaster, dude. And yes, the military prepares you for jail. If your entire like life plan, like just kind of like shits the bed, like, you know, whatever, like at least you'll
you can at least get incarcerated.
Hey, at least you'll do okay. If you fucking land in jail, at least you'll be all right.
That's 60 days in talk.
I just think the show would be a little bit better that route, because they're gonna fucking last as long as it's proper veterans, not these clown shoes that I'm a vet because I completed basic training but I got chaptered out before I got through job training.
I want to see some fucking hard asses in this shit. I want to see like 10 vets. Like,
I want to see Jocko in there.
Dude, I want to see
Green Berets and fucking Marine Recon up in that motherfucker.
I want to see a bunch of fucking psycho like infantry and like Cav Scout and like fucking like, you know, like Fisters, like just take over a whole fucking cell block, dude.
Guys, and just like you heard it here first, Jocko Willing for 60 days in.
Yeah, dude, like start a fucking prison gang with fucking vets, dude. Like that'd be fucking dope. That'd be fucking dope.
The vets would run the fucking whole prison within the first 5 days. I mean.
Hey. That sounds like the story of the first DD214 network movie.
I'm telling you, hey, dude, you give me a motherfucker to my left and my right, dude, and I'll take over the goddamn world, okay? I'm just saying, fucking, if you lock me inside a building with somebody to my left and my right, like, I'm gonna fucking own the building fucking, like, very, very shortly after. That's just the fucking reality, dude. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we gotta fucking, if you don't own the fucking space you're walking in, like, you have a fucking problem. And if you don't want to bend the fucking knee, you better own the fucking space you're walking on. That's all.
Rule number one, find the biggest, baddest motherfucker in there when you get in there and make him your bitch.
Hey, dude, this is literally like, all I'm saying is there's principles to this stuff. And like, this is like gangsterism fucking 101, dude. Like, if you don't want to fucking bend the knee, you got to fucking figure out the game. And once you figure out the game, you got to start fucking playing it.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be a good player in your fucking game.
There's no winning and losing, because the game never ends either.
That's correct. There is, like, that's literally like in the game of life, it only ends when you take your last breath. So whether you're fucking looking up at blue skies and freaking like, you know, starry nights, fucking free as a bird, or you're fucking like sitting in a fucking prison cell feeling sorry for yourself, fucking, you got to own the space you walk. Like, if you don't own it, you're going to be bending the knee to somebody else. If you don't want to bend the knee, own the fucking space you walk. That's it. That's like, that's infantry 101. We fucking own where we fucking walk. Like, if we're there, that is like our piece of the world fucking until we fucking leave. That's it.
And while we talk about bending the knee, I have, we're getting into the pretty much our final segment. I'm going to talk about Starfield. That is gonna be kind of gaming, but I'm also.
Have you played it?
No, but Jay, you're gonna love the things that I have found out about it. But before I get into that, I just want to give a huge shout out to Bethesda. First off, any Elder Scroll fans here, guys? Any Elder Scroll?
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Are we familiar with the legacy of the Bretons?
Of the what?
big shout out to Bethesda for sending this in to me.
What is that? Is that a coin?
It's a medallion.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, look at that.
Hey, there you go. That's awesome.
Beautiful. And then on top of that, being the vault dweller that I am, a special issue.
Nerd.
Canceled.
Nerd.
New vault smell from Vault 111. The official
scented candle.
Oh, new vault smell, really?
The
really?
Vault smell. The smell.
Does it smell like a new car?
Right.
It's vanilla. It's vanilla and bourbon.
I like vanilla and I like bourbon, so you know.
I'll take it.
But the reason why I'm shouting out Bethesda, they are coming out.
At least it's a manly candle.
Guys, Starfield comes out in 11 fucking days. 11 days. It is early access for those. The biggest gripe that I have is that the game for early access starts August 31st, right?
Yeah.
The actual game is the code for Steam is laser etched on a credit stick that is inside of the watch. So if the Constellation Edition doesn't come on time, I don't get to play the game early access. So that's kind of a gripe that I have, and I paid $400 for this fucking thing.
I mean, technically you could still play it early access if you've got Game Pass.
I got Game Pass.
Wait, what? It's coming on Game Pass?
Yes, it is.
You can already install it through Game Pass.
Yeah, you can install it right now.
I think I need to re-up my Game Pass.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I didn't see like anything like, okay.
Yeah, so what, okay. I mean, it's very small.
You told me about this. I wanted to try it for you. This is one of the ones I wanted to try for you.
Yeah,
like,
so this is, so Starfield, there, I have not seen any story leaks or spoilers, but I have learned a lot in the last 2 days since people started getting their review codes. One, someone has played for 15 hours straight. Did not find one bug.
What?
Not one bug was found in a 15-hour gameplay.
That's because it's going to happen during the next 15.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Leonidas in fucking 300 when he's like, let's put a test to that name. You know, like talking about the immortals and shit. It's like, yeah, like, let's fucking find out. Like,
see, that's one thing I will say, though. The only game Bethesda released that had bugs in it that I can recall that were like complete make the game shit bugs, Fallout 76. When it first came out, that game was so fucking unplayable. It was unbelievable. But normally Bethesda, when Bethesda releases a single player game, whether it's any of the other Fallouts, the base Elder Scroll games, those games typically are fucking great out the gate.
Yeah. So
Bethesda is one of those studios I trust.
So that's what's going on here with Starfield. So gameplay is off the charts. They say combat is amazing. Some of the traits, one of the traits is that called kid stuff. You can have your parents in the game and your parents would look like you depending on how you make your character. And they have an algorithm that splits the two characters to make you look like both of them in a weird way. From everything that I have read, shipbuilding, character customization, mechanics, the only bad thing that I've read is that the first 4 hours are technically is just one tutorial after another because the game is large in size and there is a lot that you're going to be learning. So that's a big thing to look at. I have a 1,000-page Starfield document that breaks down every skill, trait, how you want to be your character. It's some really cool stuff.
Interesting.
Now, the conversation that's going around Reddit, Twitter, Discord, Facebook, everywhere right now, is that this game is going to be the game of the year. And I predicted this. I predicted this a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, with a lot of games like this, when they're, you know how we do. You know, it's DD214 Network now, formerly fucking DD214 Gaming. We fucking call it as we see it. And sometimes a fucking big, bright, shining star is easy to see fucking coming a mile away. Okay? I would be more disappointed if this doesn't live up to the hype. You know, I have, like, the expectation is that this is going to be the next fucking Elder Scrolls, except it's in fucking space. It's in fucking space, and they've done like that much more to make it that much better. So it's
I'm glad you said that because it's more Fallout. I mean, it's more Skyrim and Elder Scrolls than it is Fallout.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is something that they want people to know, that there is more elements of the Elder Scrolls games than there is Fallout. So it's very exciting. I'm very excited.
You should be. I need to re-up my Game Pass. I might actually have just run out. Like, when you said that you could already download it, I was like, why the fuck haven't I seen it? But then I thought about, like, the games I've been playing the last couple of days, and, like, they're not exactly on Game Pass. Like, I got them off Game Pass, but they're on my fucking Xbox, right? So even if my subscription ran out, I'm still playing the fucking games.
Oh, right? And, like, hey, Jay, GTA is back on Game Pass too, if you want to play again.
I did see that. I breathed deep and I let out a heavy sigh when I saw that game. I was just like,
so that, I mean, that was it. I mean, this is going to be a great game. Join us next week when we talk about stupid song. Uh-oh.
Dude, you know what I played? I've been playing fucking Battlefield Bad Company.
Ooh.
Like, dude, from like what year did that come out? Like fucking 2008, 15 fucking year old game, dude. Like
same year that The Dark Knight came out and Iron Man,
dude. Like,
I mean, Batman Begins.
I got a fucking heavy bone to pick with the goddamn gaming industry. Going back and replaying Battlefield Bad Company from 2008, because some of the shit that was in that game and the shit that we're basically like force fed now, I was like, I'm like replaying the game and I'm like, okay, I can see where it's a little bit less whatever, but over here in this part of the game, you can do so much fucking more. And I'm just like, what in the fuck is wrong with the gaming industry right now? I mean, seriously. Seriously, dude. Like,
I mean, and that's the thing. So I'll go back and I'll even say, you know, the last, in my opinion, the last good Battlefield game was Bad Company 2, which was the sequel to the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which came out 2 years later in 2010.
Yeah,
I'd like to piggyback and say I actually really enjoyed Hardline, the police one that they came out with.
Hardline sucked.
I really enjoyed Hardline.
This is Jay the casual gamer, so I always remembered I really enjoyed Bad Company when it came out when it was new, and I remembered enjoying it, and I finally went back and played it. And just playing it, and I put my headphones on, and I'm listening to how it sounds. I'm watching the terrain map. The terrain mapping was fucking amazing in that game for its time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it just the destructible buildings, you know, all that shit. Where it's just like you can play the game how you want it. If you have like one of those little like remote things where you call in like, you know, mortar strikes, freaking like. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to fucking get into gunfights in that game. You can literally just bomb everybody, which is like tactically, like in theory, that's what you might do. Yeah, like you might not ever have to fucking fire a shot. And I started playing different levels like in different ways. And I was like, you can't even fucking do this in a fucking game today because they don't give you the option to. They force you to fucking play it their way. Yeah. And this is basically like a sandbox style fucking war game. So like once you play all the way through the campaign, if you go back and you start playing like level by level again, or like play which levels, you know, you kind of liked, you go back and you can play certain levels without ever firing a shot, literally, and just bomb everyone, just bomb everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's exactly how it would be in war. And yet the games today took like three fucking giant steps backwards from that. And they force you through this little tunnel of, you have to fucking fight your way through this house. You have to fucking do a certain thing over here or the level doesn't fucking complete. And it really like it boxed in those war games. And like Oh, yeah. Are you still playing 6 days in Fallujah? How's that one going?
I am.
How's that one going?
Good.
Is it still fucking amazing and everything?
It's
like
still fucking amazing.
Okay, I got to get my hands on that motherfucker when they port it.
Yeah, when it comes into console, I think it's coming around holiday time. It's coming to console.
If they put that motherfucker out on PS4, dude, I'll buy the goddamn disc. Like, I'll buy a disc of that motherfucker just so I have it.
I wonder because a lot of games aren't coming out on disc now. Like Starfield just got confirmed the other day.
That's what scares me, dude. That's what that's the shit that scares me. I've been playing Red Dead 2 at night this week, and I have it on disc. You know, so as long as that disc isn't fucked up and there's electricity, I can play that game on the PS4. The minute the fucking internet goes out, there's like six other games that we play kind of semi-regularly or regularly in general that are gone. They're just gone. So it's like if you don't have a disc, you know, and the internet fucking shits the bed, you ain't playing, dude. Game over.
Another thing that happens is that a lot of these games that you get digitally, if you buy it, some of them get taken off of the system, like completely.
Yep. I'll save my anti-capitalist fucking rant for next week. How about that?
I do want to say this. So the next episode of DD214, last week I broke the news that Rockstar bought CFX, which is the company that makes the RP servers for GTA and Red M. And I found out some more. So on the next episode, I'd like to actually give you some insight and hear your thoughts about it. Seeing is that you are a GTA fan.
I saw that a couple servers got shut down too, and people are.
Some of them get shut down.
I would like to have this conversation because I read the news. It was a news article, John. It wasn't just like a Reddit thread. It was a news article.
Oh yeah,
people got fucking upset. They were like, "We didn't do anything fucking wrong. Like this has been going on for fucking ever." And
guess who's still around? Ulysses Bartholomew Wood from the Forgotten Trails, baby. Forgotten Trails is still. But yeah, I'd like to get some insight on you about that, and then that song. The rich man on Richmond, where I'm not listening to that shit. I'm not listening to message music.
If we're gonna talk about it, you have to. Like that's like if right. I like mm-hmm. just saying, just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, you wanna take the final thoughts since you're back?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. It's been an interesting 168 for all of us, obviously. Poor Joe fucking having to hang out with cops. You know what I mean?
Those my people, bro.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. It happens. This is one of those. This is one of those weeks for me where when I start reflecting or when I start thinking a lot, it really just comes back to, you've been here before, so don't be afraid to do it again. You know what I mean? Like. Keep moving forward. You know what I mean? You're doing fine. And, you know, it's like when you just sometimes the weeks they drag on and they get regular, and that regularity kind of fucks us up sometimes even because we're like, we expect even if 95% of our lives are boring, like a lot of times as vets, I think we expect like that last 5% to be something. Right. And sometimes we don't get that something and it happens for weeks or months on end. And you're just kind of like, oh, well, what is that something and where's it at? Cause like I'm kind of grinding my teeth with the boredom. Right. So I just want to encourage everybody to stick with the healthy habits that you have in your life right now. Keep doing the things that, you know, are driving you forward and not kind of causing you to freaking like take a half step or two back. If you're climbing a hill, move slow, keep your head down. All right. And that's okay too. It's okay to climb the hill right now. If you're on top of the hill, fucking maintain position. All right. And fucking hold down the fort. All right. And if you're creeping down the other side of the hill, fucking like don't silhouette yourself. Freaking stay low. All right. And find safe passage. Freaking if you're heading back down into the valley. If you're in the valley, homies, dude, we're here. All right. We're here fucking all the time. All right. We're here every week. We need you guys here. All right. We need ourselves here. All right. Just because we have to take a break once in a while, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to take a knee. It's okay to drink water. All right. It's okay to go to the gym. It's okay to fucking hit the reset button. It's okay to talk to a therapist. All right. It's okay to have a long talk with your kid, your spouse, freaking your parents. All right. We need you guys here. All hands on deck every fucking week, every fucking day. If you're not here, we're not a fucking team. All right. Mm-hmm. Goddamn chain gets broken every time we fucking lose somebody. All right. So we need you guys to take it seriously. We take it seriously enough. We put this out every week. This is the only actually like for real serious part of our show. All right. If you are in danger, if you feel like you are, your life is just out of control. If you need to talk to somebody, if you're having thoughts of harming yourself or possibly harming others, okay, you can call 988. You can text *988. You can call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. There are licensed behavioral health specialists on the phone waiting to take your call. They are here to help you. All right. They are volunteers. They do it out of the goodness of their own heart. If you just need to mouth vomit, if you just need to freaking get some shit off your chest, all right, it's okay. It is okay. All right. We want to see you guys here in approximately 168 hours. All right. That'll be the next formation time sometime around 10 Central, 11 Eastern next Sunday. All right. We're going to be talking about the last week of preseason football before the freaking season starts. All right. We're going to be talking about Richmond, Virginia. All right. And being north of Richmond with the country song. All right. We're going to have Starfield updates. All right. And you're not going to be able to see any of it if you're not here. We need you guys here. All right. We love you guys. Take care of yourselves. All right. John, Joe, you guys are awesome. It's good to see you guys again. Right.
So glad to have you back.
So yeah, fucking A. Let's wrap it up. Love you guys.
No more meth labs in your neighborhoods, guys.
Yeah. Fuck fentanyl. Fuck heroin, dude. Like, don't do that shit, yep. Kid. Morphine is bad. The crow was right. Morphine is bad.